Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We were chuckling before the news. Restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune, Phil Vitale, and members of the, I guess, food section at the Chicago Tribune have done or are now doing a series of articles about good places for snacks in the city of Chicago, what with pot being legal and all. Mm-hmm. Is that anecdotal? That is, if you are recreationally using marijuana, do you get the munchies? Is that what that's what happens, right?
That has been my experience.
My brother called in yesterday, listening to us in Arizona, and he said, "Oh my God, do you sound stupid on marijuana? You don't know anything." And I said, "I really don't. So I don't even know how munchy you get. But you guys are doing a munchies thing."
Right. I mean, in college, I recall 2 a.m. donut runs to the 24-hour Dunkin' Donuts. The old joke about, you know, you just bring a jumbo bag of Oreo cookies with you, and yeah, you can get a little peckish.
Or White Castle sliders, were those kind of popular?
I always thought of those more as a hangover preventive.
Yeah,
after the
grease and all.
So it always cracked me up when White Castles, some of them got liquor licenses, so you could get beer or whatever there.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Some of them have liquor licenses.
Yeah, just cut out the middleman. You're going to be here anyway.
Exactly. I don't go to White Castle to get drunk. I go to White Castle
because I'm too drunk. So they'll just save you a trip.
One-stop shopping, I suppose.
Munchies make ultimate craving topic, says the Tribune. The word itself means you're craving something, as well as describing what you eat to satisfy that craving. Munchies. With the legalization of recreational marijuana in Illinois this month, munchies make the perfect focus of our craving series. Whether you choose to partake in cannabis or not, we all get the munchies sometime. There's an interesting sentence. Was there any conflict at the Tribune between addressing the need for snacks while you're smoking marijuana, say, but also the sort of encouraging people to partake? Like, maybe you should be neutral, and this is leaning into, hey, everybody, let's all go get high.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think there was any super, you know, objection to something like that, because it's legal. We're not starting with that. Background for people who don't follow me all the time, and shame on you. Every month we do a different craving on our online site, and we pick a different topic. And this month, what else?
Munchies.
Because when people have the munchies, they tend to be, shall we say, less than discerning. I mean, anything within arm's reach starts to look really, really good. So we thought, well, let's provide a little direction. Let's try to class it up a little bit before you tear into that past its expiration date box of crackers you've got in the back of your pantry. Here are some interesting places to snack on.
Right, but to go to. So you're right. I mean, this may be, you've got the munchies because you've been using pot, but it may just be, hey, I want a light bite to
eat. It's, you know what, as long as we're talking about munchies this month, let's talk about fun snacks. Not what we're just saying, go get loaded and then go to this place. We're not advocating transportation issues at all.
Conchas, C-O-N-C-H-A-S, mm-hmm. What's that?
That's like a Mexican sweet bread. And at one of our places Pan Artisanal. It's kind of French and kind of Mexican, and the concha is the sweetbread, and they're doing a Cheetos version with the pastry topped with cheesy snack sticks, and it looks kind of orangey on top, and it's got a couple of Cheetos on top, and then what the heck, they threw some cream cheese in there too because it wasn't quite indulgent enough.
This is at Pan Artisanal.
Yep.
A-T-R-E-S-E-N-A-L, Artisanal, the Mexican-French bakery in Logan Square. That's on West Fullerton, mm-hmm. 3700 block, Pan Artisanal. And these conchas are new donuts,
yeah,
essentially.
Mexican sweetbread, right.
Yeah.
It's a sweetbread, and then they load it up with more stuff and make it really indulgent.
Give me another place. Give me another food you like.
Well, we had Adam Lukic did something cute on avocado toast. He found a place called Beetle Bar and Grill, which is basically Western and Chicago Avenue, actually a couple blocks west of Western on Chicago Avenue. And they kind of combine the idea of avocado toast with elotes, Mexican street food. So they take this avocado toast and they add some, it's guacamole instead of just plain avocado. And then they throw in some cotija cheese, a little garlic aioli. He describes it as a kitchen sink maneuver, which is meaning you're not going to look, it's hard to eat politely. Let's say.
Oh, it's just messy.
It's
just
a messy kind of, you know.
But that sounds kind of good, though, doesn't it?
Don't they? Yeah.
Toast and some guacamole. I like those two products. I like aioli. That sounds good. I don't know about this cheese. How did you say that?
Cotija.
Cotija. And what's that cheese
it's
like?
It's a soft, crumbly Mexican white cheese. Yeah. It's very, very delicate in flavor.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this is at, what's the name of this place again we're looking at here? At the Beetle Bar and Grill.
Mm-hmm.
2532 West Chicago Avenue. That'll cost you $10 for one of those. Not too bad. 2532 West Chicago Avenue, Beetle Bar and Grill. I haven't been to Beetle Bar and Grill before.
No, I have not. Okay. And I will confess that now that Adam has written about it, I know about it.
Well, your colleague Grace Wong wrote, the soul rolls at Soul Shack are a perfect example of what to eat in this case. What is this all about?
It's an egg roll done Southern style, I suppose you call it. There's the egg roll has mac and cheese, the sharp bitter greens, like collards that you anticipate when you're talking about soul food, and yams, which is another soul food staple, but it's wrapped up in a crunchy, for want of a better term, spring roll, although it's deep fried, and it is deep fried. I mean, and apparently there's a jerk chicken version as well.
Yeah, these are $5, and it's at 1368 East 53rd Street,
mm-hmm.
Soul Shack, 1300 block East 53rd. Nick Kendall Sperger of the Tribune said the puffed beef rinds at Good Measure are very similar to pork rinds. That is, each bite is a delicious mix of crispiness and lip-smacking meatiness, albeit without an unmistakable beefy profile. Where are we when we're eating these things here? At Good Measure.
Right, we're basically in the near north still. It's it's 200 west block of Chicago Avenue.
Yeah.
So we're still east of Orleans at that point.
$5 for these. It's the 200 block of West Chicago Avenue. Good Measure. Have you been to Good Measure before?
I've not.
These are places we're just discovering.
Well,
here,
these are places that probably don't fall on the fine dining radar a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I do a fair amount of raised pinky dining when I'm doing my job, and so this is our chance to get a little get down into places that are less expensive, that are less formal, that are more super relaxed.
I don't see your contribution on this.
I haven't, but mine has not published yet.
Well, where are you, Mr. Fancy Pants, going to send people to? Have you figured that out yet?
No, I have about three or four candidates, and I have to get to a couple of them. But I think, because I can, I'm going to hit a couple suburban places.
Oh, nice idea. Yeah,
yeah,
right. Well, you know, every now and then.
Because you get munchies in the suburbs, too, so what the heck?
Our listeners once in a while say, come on, Phil, come out to the suburbs.
Right,
it's not like you don't, but...
It's not all Taco Bell out there. We can get some stuff.
Did I tell you that not that long ago we went to the Firehouse?
You mentioned it, and yeah. I failed to mention that there's a new chef there, Greg Biggers, who until recently was the chef over at the Meridian, Hotel Meridian, in Gold Coast. And he is, you know, at Cafe des Architectes, which is their nice dining room, and he was and he's now at the Chicago Firehouse.
We were, so that's South Michigan Avenue.
Mm-hmm, yeah, 18th and Michigan, I want to say.
Yeah, I want to say, I think it's 1800,
one of those numbers.
It's south, so if you are at McCormick Place, if you are coming up maybe from the Museum of Science and Industry, or just going heading south of the museum campus, south on Michigan Avenue there. It's an old firehouse. Had a fire. You told us part of the story last time. They've refurbished it, but it still has that very cool firehouse feel inside. It's got a real nice bar with a pretty large dining area. That was real nice. And we had a swell time there. Another place we're going to check out is Marie's Pizza.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun place.
Tell me about Marie's Pizza.
That's up in Mayfair. That's west on Lawrence. Is that right?
Yeah, it's on Lawrence.
And it's a bar.
Thin crust kind of pizza.
Super thin crust. Basically, your tavern style thin crust pizza attached to a liquor store. So Marie's has a package license as well as having a sit down bar and some room in the back if you want to sit and eat more formally. And they do pretty decent pizza.
Yeah. It's not Chicago style pizza. This is not a Malnati's.
It's Chicago style and the Chicago tavern style. That's, you know, that super thin, cut into squares,
right,
party cut kind of thing.
Little pools of grease on top,
right? Which is as much Chicago and arguably older than the deep dish pizza by which we are known.
Do we spend it? You know, it's funny because everybody gets into arguments about the deep dish pizzas of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a sub conversation. Where's the good thin crust?
Oh, we've had some of those conversations, and yes, and Marie's gets up there. Vito and Nick's on the far south side gets in there. There are a few places that have legions of fans.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I guess I'm about to be one of them. We're going to go there real soon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Marie's. I did look online at the picture. And I thought, okay, that's a liquor store. There's pizza inside there, but I guess there is. There's a restaurant attached to the liquor store, huh?
Oh yeah, it's tables and a bar, and it's a big long bar. You know, your kind of red leather bar stool, kind of high back bar stool table chairs. It's really nice. And I don't know if they've taken their Christmas decorations down yet.
Tell me about that.
But they go nuts at Christmas. They put decorations everywhere, hanging from the ceiling, hanging on the walls. I can't say every square inch is covered in decorations, but it's pretty darn close.
Really? So it's kind of crazy. That's fun.
Yeah, it is.
773 Beetle Bar and Grill is near Kaizan, a great sushi restaurant. Thank you for that. And 773 Good Light Food at Steamed Coffee Shop. It's in the same plaza as the Lifetime Fitness at York and 22nd, Oak Brook, Elmhurst area. The owner makes the cake from scratch. Good Light Food at Steamed Coffee Shop. Good to know as well. Okay. Well, there's just so online, chicagotribune.com/dining
mm-hmm.
for your list of snacks and noshes in the area. We're still waiting for Phil's contribution to this.
It'll be there. By the way, I looked up. It's 1401 South Michigan Avenue. That's the Chicago Firehouse.
1401 South.
So right at the corner of 14th and Michigan. They're on the southeast corner.
And on Lawrence, if you want to go to Marie's, still miss Romano's in Des Plaines. Rosemont's best thin crust pizza was there.
Rosemont's best thin crust pizza was in Des Plaines? I'm beginning to see the problem Rosemont has.
Maybe they meant on Des Plaines. Can somebody please explain or justify to me why or how Gibson's Italia can charge $82 for a 14-ounce filet mignon, and everything is a la carte. So you're talking well over $100 for lunch or dinner for one person. Any comment on that, Phil?
Every high-end steak restaurant is a la carte, and it's always that. And they charge that because, actually, if you really went down to it, the steakhouses have a thinner margin for their prime steak than other places.
I mean, really?
Right. They charge a lot of money because they get the raw dollars, but prime beef costs an insane amount of money.
Really?
They spend a lot. You want to go with a high percentage where the house is making a big percentage of money on? Go get some bacon and eggs and give them $9. You're not going to feel bad about it, but whoo, boy, there's a lot of profit in that.
Yeah, but at least the gross dollars aren't that much. So even though I'm paying way too much for bacon and eggs, I'm paying $14.
Right.
But that does surprise me sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't go to high-end steakhouses that often, but when the times I've been there, I thought, okay, what does it come with? And they say, well,
a fork.
If you want
you get a fork.
Exactly. If you want a potato, that'll be $17 more. And you think, I should have brought one.
Yeah.
Because potatoes do not cost $17.
Now, I will say, with all due respect to that caller, I cannot verify that person's prices. Whatever was quoted with
it. $82
for a filet. Whether the filet is, in fact, $82, and how much does it weigh? I'm not interested in whether it's a filet or not. I want to know how much does it weigh when I know what the price is.
Fair enough.
And, of course, the other short answer is, why do they charge that?
Because they can.
Because people pay it. Yeah. Because people.
Well, because a lot of businesses pay that, right?
A lot of businesses. But, I mean, that is. Business deductibility is not what it was. So
really?
Those rip roaring three martini days are long gone.
Maybe not. But I would imagine those high end steakhouses are there because businesses are writing the check. I'll bet more than half of the time.
If you were going to do business entertaining, steakhouses are a hard thing. It's hard to turn that down because you know what? When you tell people you're telling them to a steakhouse, there are no follow-up questions.
they're good with that.
Right. Well, if you tell them Italian something, but we're talking Northern Italian, we're going to, is it more pasta? Is this more seafoody? What are we going to do? And with American, well, what kind of contemporary American? I don't even know what that means. Well, nobody does. Don't worry. But how does that work? And do address? We're going to a high-end steakhouse. Oh, dude.
I know what I'm going to get.
I even know what I'm going to order. I haven't seen the menu yet, and I know what I'm getting.
Yeah, fair enough. $82 for a 14-ounce filet mignon at Gibson's. By the way, the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle, I think it was 2 weeks ago, it said, like, you know, marquee Chicago restaurant. And the answer was Gibson's.
Really?
So props to them. Wow. But I guess...
Nice placement.
Well, the point is that if you're Gibson's, some people, when they come to Chicago, they say, well, I'm in Chicago. I want to go get a steak. Where's the good place for steak? If you only know Chicago and you want to go to a big-time steakhouse, Gibson's may be the first thing that comes to mind.
Right. And when you think of how many steakhouses that are well-known, say, franchise-type names... that have satellites in Las Vegas and this city, and they're in Scottsdale, and they're up there, and they're all that. Gibson's is Chicago. Gibson's has a couple of suburban locations, and that's it. So it's kind of, if you want the Gibson's experience, you come here. You don't go to Vegas. You don't go to Scottsdale. You don't go to Miami. And I can't imagine how many offers they have turned down over the years.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing when you consider how many expats are in Arizona or Florida.
Sure. And how many offers they've had, like, hey, let's use your name and open a steakhouse right there. And they don't do it.
Good for them, huh?
Yeah.
At least they're controlling their brand that way, too.
Control their brand, control their people, control the experience.
630 said, still miss Romano's in Des Plaines, Rosemont best thin crust pizza. That person texted back and said, no, they had two locations, John. One was in Des Plaines, and then they moved to Rosemont, and then they closed, but they missed the Romano's for thin crust pizza. John, whatever happened to the glass dome hickory pit on Halsted? Does that make any sense to you, that question?
Yeah, that's one in the deep south suburbs, and it had its run. But nothing lasts forever.
John, the best thin crust pizza around is Monocle's Pizza that originated in Tolono. Did you mean Toulon? It's T-O-L-O-N-O.
No, Tolono. I thought it was Sullivan, Illinois, actually, but it was...
This is down south suburbs, Steve?
Growing up in Kankakee County, Monocle's, and we still...
Yeah, beyond the south suburbs. If you went to college at University of Illinois, you know about Monocle's.
Yeah, right. I do know that name from Peoria days.
There's one in Mantino, and I grew up on the one in Bradley, absolutely.
There's one just south of Chicagoland, but... Off the top of my head, I can't think of the name of the town. Maybe that's the one you were thinking of, Steve.
Yeah, maybe Mantino.
They are now known for patrons putting French dressing on their pieces of pizza. The dressing is their own recipe, and it's the best I've ever had. The best of the chain, in my opinion, is in Arcola. Thank you, David. Somebody else reminded me that Bob Surratt loves Maria's, which I'm going to check out real soon. So that's your thin crust pizza talk. John, I just went to Gibson's, and for 2 8-ounce fillets and 2 ribeyes that were in no way prime cuts, we paid over $600. That would be 4 steaks, $600. Doesn't say if they ordered potatoes, coffee,
bottles of wine. I mean, four goes into 600 150 times. So now they're paying $150 for steak? Don't think so.
Okay, then maybe this did include.
Right, and I'm not prepared to take them at their word that these were in no way prime, because unless he's a USDA inspector, I'm not sure on what he's basing that. Maybe he didn't enjoy them so well.
But you sound like you are defending the high-priced steak. You're certainly explaining it to us that the high-end meat costs more than I might imagine. That how much are you getting there, and what are you adding to this?
Right.
And if you don't like $600 for four, don't go.
We have options in Chicago. Yeah. This is not a truck stop out in, you know, somewhere between here and the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. If you don't, I mean, this is as competitive a dining market as exists
in
the country.
Do you think so? You think
right.
so?
Right. There are hundreds of places to go to. So if that's really expensive and by no means the most expensive restaurant in Chicago, fine. The market has spoken. They're not getting your dollars. And someone who does what you want is going to get your dollars. And that's kind of how it's supposed to work.
By the way, speaking of a small town where maybe the options are more limited, but they still have good snacks,
mm-hmm.
Fat Olives in Hinckley, Illinois, or Achenlous, A-C-H-Achenlous, A-C-H-N-L-O-U-S, Achenlous in Aurora. I don't know all of these places, but I'm interested in your thoughts. Rick, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you? Rick, you're on the air.
Hey, hi. I just wanted to comment on the Romano's Steakhouse or Romano's restaurant. You were talking about best thin crust pizza. Everybody was confused in Park Ridge.
Yeah.
Now it's Park Ridge.
By the way,
adding
Hinckley,
cities.
Next to Big Rock. Grew up going there. My uncle had a farm.
Hinckley Big Rock. Hello. Yeah. So tell me about this pizza joint.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was an Italian restaurant. Not a pizza joint. It was very fine dining back in the, I was born in 1962. So as a kid, I remember that was where we went when we went for a nice dinner to Romano's. And next door to it, across the side street, was the Black Ram. That was a steakhouse. That's now turned into something else. And the Romano's is no longer there. The building is still there. It's the property is still for sale. You can still see the sign, but it's taxes. Nobody's paying taxes. But everybody from Park Ridge came to Des Plaines because there really wasn't many restaurants in Park Ridge. And by the way, that's where Hillary Clinton grew up.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I don't know what her favorite pizza joint was, though.
It was Romano's.
After all of this, is there a Romano's open now or not?
No.
No more Romano's.
And the Black Ram is another business now. It's a Balkan-type restaurant.
How about
that? I don't know what that is, but it's open very late.
I appreciate the phone call, Rick. Thanks for the clarification.
Thanks,
on all that. You bet. You have a good day. Capone's in Chicago and Next Door Pub in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, for thin crust pizza. John, have you ever had Malnati's crustless pizza? The crust is a slab of sausage, and it's delicious, said 224. I've been to Malnati's a lot. I've never seen that on the menu.
It's their gluten-free option.
Producer Olive typed in after that, gross. Thank you, Olive, for the...
especially when... I mean, there's still a lot of people who avoid gluten, and when it was really at its peak, the Malnati developed a crustless pie, that because people were coming
in. Yeah, right.
They wanted people, you take the family out, but Grandma doesn't or Aunt Mary doesn't do gluten. Now what do you do? Well, now they can bring one out with just the meat and the cheese and the sauce and no bread.
When I go to those DePaul games, across the street is a Paisano's, which has a thin crust pizza. It's tavern style pizza, and I think it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But my son and his buddies think it's fantastic. Just another thin crust pizza joint if you're downtown.
Nice thing about thin crust pizza, you can get people going. Like, okay, are you a center guy? Do you like go in right for the center so you don't have to deal with any crust? Do you like the crust?
Yeah.
Are you one of the people that fights for those four triangles?
Centerpieces are the best, if you ask me. It's good to see you, Phil. Well,
thank you.
So read the chicagotribune.com/dining for the food section, and soon we'll get Phil's snacks and munchies suggestion.
We'll do a different munchie every day.
Yeah, they're carving
strap in.
Section.
We got a whole month to go.
Nice to see you, Phil. Thanks
thank
for
you.
Coming in.